You know, scientists normally ask big institutions like the government for money to do their research. But all this month, some have been making their pitches directly to the people online. They've been crowdsourcing pledges for their project. It's called the SciFund Challenge, and they have until midnight tonight to meet their fundraising goals. Well, our reporter Lisa Johnson has caught up with some local scientists who are taking this challenge and joins us here in the studio to tell us more about this. Hello there.
Hi, Rick.
This is kind of an interesting idea. How does this crowdsourcing work?
Well, crowdsourcing, it's a word that gets thrown around a lot online, basically means getting input from a bunch of people on some kind of problem or project. So here, the input is money, so crowdfunding, if you will, and the project is scientific research through what's called the SciFund Challenge. So this was started by some ecologists in California who were inspired by how tech startups were doing this to raise money for good ideas, and they wanted to see whether scientists could pull off the same thing and get people excited about their research. So the way it works is the scientists find a specific part of their research they need money for. So a smaller chunk, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, something like that. They make a short video that goes online explaining what they do, what they need money for, why it matters. And here's the key, Rick. These are scientists who cannot speak jargon. You have to appeal to people in the terms they understand and
layman's
make them
terms,
care
right.
about the work they do. Yes.
Exactly.
Just like we try to do.
Yeah, so give us an example.
Well, I met up with Lindsay Aylesworth, a PhD student who studies seahorses as part of Project Seahorse at UBC. She's a scuba diver, a researcher, and she loves seahorses.
All right, my favorite fact about seahorses is that they come in all different sizes. They can be as small as a pine nut to as large as a banana.
So you can hear her enthusiasm about her study species.
Already I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's not just because seahorses are, for many people, charming little fish, but also because they're an important species, they have really interesting biology, and they're threatened in many parts of the world. So her PhD work is in Thailand, looking at how seahorses there are surviving in areas where fishing is and is not allowed. And her pitch through SciFund is to find a research assistant that she'd hire in Thailand, someone who knows the coast, who speaks the language, and who'd be helping her in the field tagging seahorses. So she asked at the beginning of May for $2,400. And right now, with 13 hours left till midnight Eastern time, she's already gone past that goal. She's at $2,500 and change. 59 people have donated money, anywhere from $5 to $500.
Good for her. So what do people get in return when they donate?
Well, this isn't something where you're getting a tax receipt through donating through this online system. I mean, if you donate to big institutions like UBC or some of the others, you may through that, but not through this competition. You do, though, get a little reward for each level of support, kind of like when you see the public broadcasting pledge drives in the States with the tote bags. Here, it's not tote bags. Most of the rewards are something that brings you a little closer to the research. So that is the sound of Pacific white-sided dolphins off the BC coast, and supporters of a dolphin research project last year were promised an MP3 of dolphin calls if they were supporting that research. So in Aylesworth's case, she's going to be giving updates to her supporters from Thailand. She says it's been overwhelming getting support from friends and from strangers.
The most popular rewards has been the $50 reward, which is a postcard update from the field, along with a signed photo of my research assistant, an autographed copy, if you will, of my research assistant from the field. So I'm stoked that people are pretty excited to get updates and see who my research assistant actually will be.
So we're talking not big piles of money here, but really some interesting connections. There's going to be a man or woman in Thailand who's getting a job working with seahorses because of these contributions from strangers here in Vancouver or around the world. And Aylesworth will be able to get more done in the field for her work conserving seahorses.
Are all the projects getting what they're asking for?
No. I mean, some have, some haven't. There are some that are 103% right now and some that are down at 12%. Mm. The dolphin project during the last go-round in the fall didn't make its goal. But Rick, so far this month, the SciFund Challenge has raised $90,000 for 75 projects. And right now, on the last day, as the clock ticks down, many scientists are still on Twitter. They're on their website. They're making the pitches to people, hoping that they may reach their goal. I talked to Catherine Anderson, a medical geneticist at UBC, and she also runs a program at Science World called Future Science Leaders for high schoolers from all over the Lower Mainland who like science. Rick, they call themselves geeks in training. And her pitch is to get equipment so that next year's students will be able to do real scientific experiments trying to make biofuel from local fruit like plums and cranberries. And she says most science education uses pre-packaged experiments, which are cheaper, but where kids can and sometimes do just Google the answers before they get into the lab. So she wants these high schoolers to learn the hard part of science.
There is no big textbook in the sky where you can go look everything up. And so teaching these students that you don't know the answer and you have to look at the evidence and decide yourself what the next best thing is, that's a hugely valuable lesson.
So if they meet their goal, they're going to buy a good microscope and the gear they need to analyze DNA from the yeast they study, so that these students will be figuring out for themselves what the best way is to make the biofuel. So far, I just checked before coming in here, they're at 94%. They were just at 84% yesterday of their goal. Their goal is $3,141.59, which for the other geeks in training out there is pie. So still 13 hours left. They are hoping that they will be getting all the way to 100%.
What? Yeah, the 59 cents threw me there. We know times are tight for all kinds of public funding, including science. So is this crowdfunding, is this a response to that?
You know, Rick, in a way it is. I mean, not in direct dollars and cents, though. I mean, no one can argue that these small amounts of money raised by the SciFund Challenge would replace something like a big grant from NSERC, the National Science and Engineering Research Council, which is government funded and which is cutting back on certain programs right now. So these contributions are not going to be replacing that. But the SciFund Challenge is, talking to its organizers, absolutely a response to the place of science in society right now, at a time when here in Canada, you know, the funds are harder to get, when we're hearing about government scientists who can't speak publicly about their work. So people who care about science worry that it's under attack or at the very least slipping from prominence. So I talked to one of the ecologists who started the SciFund Challenge, Jai Ranganathan, who's a conservation biologist at the University of California in Santa Barbara. He says communication is at the heart of this program, though, as much as the money is.
And so, in fact, the point of SciFund is that there's two separate problems that might have one solution. And the two problems are, one, science and society have never been more disconnected, at least in my memory. And the second problem is that research funds are getting harder and harder to get. But what if these are two problems with one solution, and that's where SciFund Challenge comes in? You know, the real push for all of this is to get people excited about the science.
So he's talking there from the American perspective about science and society. But Rick, also scientists that I talked to here in Canada, and I do talk to quite a few, they're also feeling pressure right now to speak up for their science, for their research, for their evidence, try to convince people that it matters in a way that they haven't before.
Wow. Interesting. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Lisa Johnson, reporter with the CBC. Now you can join the conversation on Twitter and Facebook if you'd like. Search for us at CBC Early Edition. Or email us, earlyed@cbc.ca, or talk to us on TalkBack at 604-662-6690. What do you think about this? Crowdsourcing or crowdfunding for science?